Hi there. Welcome to Lessons in Creativity, where we explore the creative process across different disciplines and learn how to harness this natural part of our human experience. I'm Jenna Massey. Well, this is season one coming to a close. Thank you all so much for listening. This has been such a wonderful journey for me to take on this project. I've learned so much about myself, about the creative process, and about the wonderful guests that I've had on the show. And I've really appreciated people reaching out and telling me that they listened, what they got from it, and even hearing about new projects that have gotten started as a result of listening. This is very much a topic that I continue to be interested in, and I'm going to take some time to listen back through all the episodes, reflect on what I've taken away, what my journey has been, and perhaps season two will have a slightly different angle. I encourage you all to go back and binge through the episodes with me. Like I said, I'm going to be doing a little bit of a longer reflection, but I did want to share five takeaways that have stood out to me thus far. Number one, why do we create? I found it so interesting to ask people why they create. Scott Wolfson's answer in episode 6 stood out. Scott said, "We create because it helps us answer the fundamental question of what it means to be human," which is so hard to express with words. This answer resonated with me so deeply, and I do feel that creativity is an expression of who we are, whether it be a work of art like a song, a painting, or a poem, or putting our own flair on something on our creative job, or starting our own company. I think it holds true. Number two, people approach and view the creative practical balance differently. In episode 23, Joy Batra introduced this concept of the cake, which I loved. She says, you can think about your creativity as a cake, where all your talents and creative pursuits are mixed together and perhaps working for you in one job. Or you can think about it as separate ingredients that exist alongside each other. So you could have the milk and flour and eggs that each have different creative pursuits working in separate jobs or perhaps side hustles. You could even think about maybe two of those creative talents are mixed together, the milk and the flour, but not yet mixed with the rest. And I think this analogy is super helpful, especially to think about it in terms of different seasons. It's helpful for me as I'm shaping my view of creativity and how this project of a podcast, for instance, fits into my portfolio of the rest of my career. And I found it interesting to talk to others about this on the podcast. Some brought creativity as a central part of their job, like Anna DeMatos in episode 8, Kara Sullivan in episode 3. Some found jobs that supported their ability to pursue creativity outside of their workplace. Adi Surendran in episode 13, pursuing comedy, for example. Rachel Soslaw, pursuing storytelling in episode 4. Others pivoted in and out of the business world and creative worlds through different seasons, like Joy Batra, pursuing acting, Sasha Schechter with TV producing, Jeff Metzler with Broadway. And then others, over time, developed their side interests into a full-time business, like Lauren Decray and her commitment to poetry, Christina Decray with Labyrinth and the focus on spiritual wellness. Something about the last name Decray, I guess. Number three, the power of creating a practice. This is something I felt so strongly about going into starting this podcast, and I wanted to establish a new practice for myself by starting the show. Showing up and developing your own practice is key and critical to the creative process. Allie Moss talks about this in episode 12. She talks about in order to get better at writing songs, you have to write more songs. David Nabinsky is a great example of this in episode 21, having consistently published a podcast every week for the last 6 years. Adi Surendran talks about his approach to getting better at comedy through consistently going to open mics and sharing his short stories, which eventually culminated into a book. Rob Lawless talks about his approach to an 8-year project of talking to individuals every day. Amanda Pena talked about how her latest creative project really only took off because of years and years of commitment to writing practice. And I think these are such incredible examples about the power of practice. The skills really do compound over time. It helps us shape our view of identity and claim the title of songwriter, artist, poet, whatever it may be. And it helps us fight perfectionism by consistently committing to showing up every week, every month, whatever the time frame is, and publishing something. Number four, community is key to creativity. When you're in the process of learning something new, you really need an environment that fosters learning, curiosity, and support for the things that you're developing. Community building is a form of creative art as well, and helps support others being seen. It was fascinating to talk about this with Saba Ahmed, Rachel Soslaw, and David Nabinsky especially. Also, Allie Moss and her ability to create a wonderful community through thinking outside the box. Number five, AI can be a tool for us in the creative process, but it can't fully replace the human aspects of what we do. Rather, it brings greater awareness to our overall process of learning and creativity. It was fascinating to talk to Lauren Ducray about this in episode 11, after her experience working with AI at Google to then becoming a poet. And what Lauren said, consistent with some of my other guests, is that AI actually helps us bring greater awareness to what it means to create, because it forces us to interact with and ask questions of what actually is a good poem? What does it mean to write a good poem? What does it require from us, from a rhyming scheme, from syllable count, from the form of it, and so many other questions? Noah Frank had a similar take on this in episode 18, where he talked about how he actually uses ChatGPT as a co-writer in songwriting. He will write something and then brainstorm ideas with ChatGPT and ask it to develop or iterate or riff on his idea. It's very interesting to think about it that way. But as many of my guests also reiterated, we really do need to create as humans, and we can't fully outsource creation to AI. I loved the poem that Lauren referenced by Joseph Fasciano for a student who used AI to write a paper, which I'd love to read again. Now I let it fall back in the grasses. I hear you. I know this life is hard now. I know your days are precious on this earth, but what are you trying to be free of? The living? The miraculous task of it? Love is for the ones who love the work. Thank you again so much for listening to this podcast. I truly have appreciated all of your support. I hope you've taken something away from it too. I hope it's gotten you thinking a little bit about your own creativity. Maybe ask yourself some questions. What was your relationship with creativity as a child? How does it show up now? What creative identities do you claim? Which would you like to claim? How do you balance creativity and practicality? How do you handle your inner critic and perfectionism? What creative practices do you cultivate in your life? How do you get over the vulnerability of sharing your work? Thank you again so much for listening. Can't wait to see you in season 2. Lastly, if you have a creative project you're working on, I've started a small but mighty creativity circle, which is a time to get together to spend 1 hour working silently on something that furthers your own creative endeavors. Please reach out to me on Substack or Instagram if you would like to join. We're currently meeting Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on Zoom. Thanks so much, and see you in season 2.